Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Well, after Jay was ranting about how, so what? You don't need to get coffee at work because the Yankees don't get...
The Yankees aren't paying for free Wi-Fi. They're not getting free Wi-Fi.
For the coffee. Another team wouldn't pay for coffee, right?
Well, it was Mike McDaniel talking about the Commanders with coffee.
Didn't pay for coffee. And, Jay, you were saying, oh, so what? And now we have audio evidence.
I have no problem stopping at Dunkin' Donuts on my way to work. That one day it caught me off guard. I thought it was free, so I complained about it that day. The next day I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts.
You know, there's a lot of receipts.
What are you talking about, Key? Dunkin' Donuts is fine. You're not even a coffee drinker.
Is that your go-to, Jay? Dunkin' Donuts?
I'm a Double D's guy.
The coffee out of the machine at your Double D's guy?
Okay. Hey, yo.
Coffee out of machine?
Yeah, the machine at work. I mean, listen, is it good? It's just caffeine. Hook me up to an IV with caffeine, I'll be good.
Give me caffeine for 4 hours, I'm happy.
Yeah. So y'all not real coffee drinkers then? Because you're supposed to know all the roast and all the different stuff, right? You're right. Where it comes from.
Dark roast, light roast.
Light, dark, Argentina.
When I was a kid, my mom had that
Costa
instant
Rica,
coffee.
Costa Rica.
My mom had that instant coffee when I was a kid.
Folgers,
mix it up.
Man.
Folgers or whatever. Coffee, right? Yeah. Mix it up. She used to throw a ton of milk and
what
sugar.
Was that commercial?
Sneak a sip. I'd be like, tastes like ice cream.
What was that? Man. It had that great chime to it. The Folgers commercial.
The best part of waking up is Folgers.
Folgers thing,
I remember a bunch of those jingles,
Folgers, man. And when it's empty, your mom put the grease in and put it on the back of the stove. Just saying.
So we were talking earlier in the show about...
Talking else about greasing up.
What?
I don't know. I was trying to give a transition. I don't know where Max is going with the transition.
We were talking about earlier in the show. Go ahead, Max.
Double D coffee and greasing up for Jay. Okay.
Got to get it.
I think Max is lost right now.
No, I was going to say that we were talking earlier in the show about the duo with the most pressure on them, and people have been waiting on the line to talk about it since then. And people also want to talk about Lamar Jackson. 888-SAY-ESPN. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. So we will get back into those topics. But right now, Reggie Barlow, Super Bowl champion, DC Defenders head coach, and GM. The head coach and the GM. What's up, Reggie? How are you, coach?
Man, I'm better than I deserve. How you guys doing?
Reggie, the GM.
I'm better than I deserve. I like that.
This is my former teammate.
What? Oh, Reggie, you got to give me some Keyshawn Johnson
stories. My former teammate, and we came out in the same draft class in 96, and we played together. In Tampa Bay, he was one of my receiving partners.
Oh, so he was with the young Keyshawn with the thin mustache.
Yeah. He was the Keyshawn. You know what I'm saying? I come from a little small HBCU, right? And Keyshawn, number one draft pick. But we had a lot in common, though, as we found out. Like his quarterback in junior college and in high school was actually my quarterback, or one of my quarterbacks in college, and Damon Williams. So there's
a lot. It's weird, Reggie, that it took until now for us to learn, Key, you were the number one overall draft pick. Why have you never mentioned that on this show? You took a former teammate coming on to tell us this? Ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it's all good. Reggie B, you got your DC United sitting at 6-0, undefeated on the season. You know, I just had a chance to watch you guys beat up on Wade Phillips this past week and his Houston team. What's it like to sit at 6-0 and top in your first year as a pro football coach, to be sitting at 6-0 and having such great success?
Yeah, Key, you know, everything starts with, we make sure we populated ourselves with good people, right? We got Vaughn Hutchins, who is our director of player personnel, who's obviously helped build his team, our assistant coaches. These guys that have done an amazing job. And then, of course, the players have really bought into the team concept and, put the work in. And it's a wonderful feeling to know that the things that we've put together in private is coming out in public. So kudos to these guys. They're doing a good job. Miss Stacy, our team operation, who organize and keep us straight. I mean, just everybody's just being on the same page, communicating the message, and it's a wonderful thing to be where we are right now.
Reggie, when I ask you about Lamar Jackson, what thoughts initially come to your mind with the way things are being or the way things are going down with the Ravens and him?
So Lamar Jackson obviously is an extremely talented guy. He's an outstanding athlete, and you hate to see a guy who has put in, 5 years of really good film, right? He's shown that he belongs, and he's shown that he is, top-notch quarterback. And it's a shame that, he can't get what he feel like he deserves at this moment, but hopefully it'll work out. Hopefully he'll land somewhere where he'll be appreciated if he don't stay in Baltimore. But obviously a good player. And the thing about Jay with these quarterbacks is, right, depending on when your time is up to get a new contract and, what that market is, you guys feel like they're top three, top two quarterbacks, so they want to demand the money that some other fella may have gotten, and it don't always line up like that. So that's pretty unfortunate, but he's a good player, good person, and hopefully he get what he deserves.
Reggie B, take us through the difference between the XFL and the NFL. Obviously, you played in the NFL, you won a Super Bowl, you were drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars, you played for the Oakland Raiders, you've been around, you understand the NFL, but now you're in the XFL. Tell us the difference and why people should tune in and pay attention to the XFL.
Well, the XFL, obviously, it's the league of opportunities, right? A lot of people, including myself, that's part of this league or getting opportunities to be on a professional level that normally wouldn't get these opportunities. There's a lot of players that deserve it. And Santos, like we're watching right now, I mean, that guy deserves to be in the NFL. But what's different is there's some rules, right? Our kickoff team, obviously, kickoff return were 5 yards apart for safety reasons to lower the contact, the physicality, right? You've been a part of running or receiving on a kickoff return team and knowing that those guys are running to each other at a fast speed. So it cuts down on the physicality of it, but it allows us to return the ball. And then, of course, on our punt team, the gunners can't just take off and run like you do in the NFL. Obviously, from a scoring standpoint, you can go for one, you can go for two, you can go for three. So those type of things is the rules, but that are different. But it's still football. It's still 100-yard field, still a rectangle, and it's still blocking and tackling. So we're proud to be a part of the XFL, and we're happy that we're giving guys opportunities to show that they belong, and hopefully they'll get their shots in the NFL.
You know, the interesting thing, Max and Jay, about Reggie Barlow. Reggie's been an HBCU coach, started at Alabama State, then Virginia State most recently, and now has an opportunity in the XFL to be a head coach sitting at 6-0, showing people that he can assemble a staff, run a football team, and get them to the point that they're in now, on top of wearing a second hat, as you mentioned, Max, as a general manager. What I find it fascinating about is having this opportunity puts himself along with many other black head coaches out there out front and gave them this opportunity. There's 4 black head coaches in the XFL out of 8 teams. What does that signify and mean, Reggie, in this situation with the XFL?
Well, I tell you, Key, I don't take that lightly. I do understand that there's a lot of minority coaches, African-American coaches, that deserve an opportunity to be coordinators and head coaches. And a lot of times a question comes up, they've never been a head coach, or have they been a head coach, a coordinator and all that stuff. So I think for us, being able to populate ourselves with good people and being able to show that we were able to build our team from scratch. We were able to scout and look at these college guys and former pro guys and build a team. along with Vaughn Hutchins and our coaches, and then also to be able to get a coaching staff and a defensive coordinator and Greg Williams, an offensive coordinator and Fred Kice, and assistant coaches, and just really build this thing out and just show that we can select and do all of that stuff. We can communicate. We know football. We are organized. We can get a plan together, and then, of course, we can deliver that. And our players, right, have gone out and did that, and we've done it as an entire team. So we hope that it will show that we are able to do these type things, and hopefully more minorities, more African Americans will have an opportunity to show their stuff on the highest level, man. We deserve that.
Coach, you got any Keyshawn stories?
Any crazy ones, though, like memorable ones, Reggie?
Embarrassing.
You know what I mean?
Be better.
I mean, like,
don't unload the kitchen, man.
Right. My birthday was the year, like, Super Bowl. My birthday is the 22nd. I think we played the Super Bowl on, like, the 25th or something like that. And he wanted to treat me, you know, to him. And we went out to eat dinner with, man, this guy from Sports Illustrated. I forget his name. Jesus. But anyway, I mean, he blessed the brother for his birthday, right? So I ain't going to talk more about that.
You had a, okay, in other words, you had a blessed birthday.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, like,
see, I'm not a bad dude.
He's a religious man. He blessed your birthday.
Yeah,
I'm not a bad guy with holy water, Reggie.
I was a great teammate.
You know, great. Yeah, I mean, great. He's my guy, man. Like, man, this guy. You would think from two extremes, right? I mean, this guy is number one pick from USC. You know, HBCU, fourth round. We came out the same year. And really just develop a cool friendship. And over the years, we don't have to talk every day. But when we catch up, it's a lot of laughs, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Keith Ain't tells these stories. And, man, asking about certain people, so we're always laughing. But number one pick, man, get me the damn ball.
Number one pick. Can't believe it took till now for us to learn this.
Reggie B was riding horses to the grocery stores back in 96 out in Alabama.
Did you borrow
you
a Super Bowl
that time
champion?
He called me, and I was like, this dude showed up at my door. He's on a horse, man.
Oh, that was so funny.
Thanks, Reggie. Appreciate it.
All right, Reg. Good luck, brother.
Right on, man. Thank y'all, man. Thanks.
DC I called him one day. Coach and GM.
I called him one day just to talk to him. He's like, hey, man. Key, you know, he's looking out the window. He go, man, this dude done showed up to my house on a horse.
On a real horse.
Like, yeah, he's from Alabama. So,
in
you
LA?
Know, Alabama. Tampa, so, yeah. You know, it's a little horsey over there. So, the dude showed up on a horse. Man, it had to be some of the funniest stuff I ever heard. Because I ain't never think somebody coming from, we drive cars, ride bikes, or walk. Dude went to the house on a horse. It's the funniest thing ever, boy. In the middle of the city.
Reggie Barlow. When are you allowed to call for a team to move on from a legendary coach? A Bill Belichick or Greg Popovich. Plus, someone wants to call me out, I understand, for
Uh-oh.
My taste in chocolate.
Uh-oh.
I like chocolate. Uh-oh. And I'm not a food snob like everyone on this show. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
What would you say to give them a reason to be optimistic for what's ahead?
Last 25 years.
This is a shift to me in the mentality of Bill. I don't know what he was thinking saying that, and if I was in the locker room, I'd check him right now.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. So before we get into the topic, we've been trying to get to it all show. When you move on from a great coach, right? Stacy in Florida has something to tell me about chocolate. Go ahead, Stacy.
Hi, yes, this is your number one fan, Stacy. Hey, Max, you're like my grand. You're like an old lady in a handsome man's body. You like everything my grandma liked. Almond Joys, Mounds,
right. I was close to my grandmother.
Everything, yeah. I wouldn't touch, you,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I was close to my grandmother. I named my first child after her. That's right. I'm not ashamed about it.
It all makes sense.
Yeah, that's
Stacey
right.
Put it all
my favorite candy is the Hershey's. And I think that's why I like you guys so, because, you know, Max is my white chocolate, Keyshawn my dark chocolate, and Jay Will is my milk chocolate.
There you go.
Wait, hold on, man. I'm milk chocolate. I'm not dark chocolate.
Dark
on this
Key.
Show,
you're
Key.
You the Draymond Green of this show, Key. It's okay.
On this show.
You leave a fingerprint on charcoal. What?
I'm going to stay out of the Draymond conversation. I'm going to let you deal with that.
Hey, you're not that
what?
Dark.
I'm going to leave that alone. I'm dark.
Leave a fingerprint on charcoal. Go ahead.
I'm dark, but I ain't that dark.
Darker than I am, let's put it that way.
Hey,
darker
Max,
than me.
Don't get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. We all have eyes. All right. When are you allowed to call for a team to move on from a great coach? I remember, like, Joe Torre, Yankees coach, right? Yankees manager, won 4 World Series.
Well, he was a Dodger manager, too.
In his first 5 years. But at a certain point, the Yankees moved on. What's that, Jay?
He was a Dodgers manager, too, now. Come on.
Right. But, you know, like, when you have stupid success in a place over a period of time, you know, and, like, by the way, I've been talking about Belichick a lot on this show and talking about his record without Tom Brady. But let's take Greg Popovich. If Greg Popovich ran for office, I would vote for him. Love Greg Popovich.
Facts.
The fact of the matter is, and no one's suggesting he's not among the greatest coaches ever. Mm-hmm. But at some point, might Spurs fans start to think, hey, what can you do when you don't have Tim Duncan? Right? Like,
Max.
But get Key. I know he can compete. He can get the most out of his players. I get it. But at a certain point, all of your success is tied up into one guy. The fan base might grow restless.
I understand that. But at some point, Greg Popovich deserves and earned the right to make that decision when he wants to step away from coaching the San Antonio Spurs. When you have legendary coaches like Coach K that coached Jay, he earn and deserve the right to make his mind up and decision on when he wanted to step down.
But his teams were competitive.
And hover above, high above. His teams were what?
Competitive.
Okay, so Bill Belichick's teams are competitive.
Not in the playoffs.
Max, stop.
I mean, look,
it's true. Popovich
is getting at an interesting time here, right? Because I believe they haven't made Spurs last made the playoff series in 2016 and 17. They lost in the conference finals to the Warriors 4-0, right? They got swept. But, like, they haven't made to the playoffs since then. I think they were bouncing the first round next two seasons, and they haven't made to the playoffs in the last three.
And that's so all without Tim
Duncan.
Okay,
Dunn. So
that's fair, Key.
But now it's getting long now.
Yeah, it's getting long now. But, like, the question, like, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a team that is over 500, that gets to the playoff, like Bill Belichick here and there, or would you rather have who has the history behind them of winning championships like Greg Popovich, or would you rather have the Detroit Lions who have gone 31 years?
Careful what you wish for.
So, like, yeah. Which one is it?
This happens in college and sometimes, like that, in like the Midwest guys, where you might have a good coach.
John Calipari, prime example.
Yeah.
People are trying to get rid of John Calipari.
Well, okay, like, but that's a whole different level, right? But I mean, like, just a good coach who wins more than he loses, and you're chugging along, and you're like, we need to take the next step, and you wind up terrible for a while. No, of course you don't want that, but maybe you'd like better than what you're getting right now.
But when you talk about Bill Belichick, Max, and you say he doesn't win in the playoffs, that's not true.
Without Tom Brady, he has one playoff win.
The dude's been without Tom Brady 3 damn years.
10. Or 9. No, 9.
You're talking about before he.
You're
got
talking
Tom
about
Brady.
The Cleveland no Browns.
Yeah, but since he's won championships,
yes, since he's won championships, he's entering
3 years.
He's entering year 4 without Brady now.
So what?
Entering year 4.
Yeah,
and he went to the playoffs 1 out of the 3 years
correct.
That he's been without Tom Brady.
With Mac
so
Jones as
you
a rookie.
You can't classify that as not winning in the playoffs, though, dog.
Well, except that if he, let's say he doesn't win a playoff game this year, that'd be 4 years. At what point can you classify it? Because you said Popovich.
I would say, what are we in, 23? Mm-hmm. I'd say you get into 25.
Hold on, Key. You need 6 seasons without a playoff win?
Well, he has one.
He has no playoff wins.
He's been to the playoffs.
No, he got to the playoffs. One time in 3 seasons without Tom Brady.
And
this is
win.
His 4th season.
Right.
Okay? We don't know what this season is. Let's just say they don't make it to the playoffs.
Okay.
Now you looking at it and you saying, well, maybe it's passed him by, blah, blah, blah. Now you're looking at 24. Mm-hmm. Then you say, okay, well, do we want to make a – well, maybe not. Now you get into 25 and they don't make the play, or they make the playoffs and they lose or something mm-hmm. like that. Now that's when you start to say, well, he is 75 years old.
How about you give him 1 season for every Super Bowl win?
Why?
I'm just saying that it's the same thing. How many Super Bowls does he
have? Well, by the way, I'm with
he
you
has
guys.
Six, right?
Keep it right
so
how
you're
it is
doing
in New
the same
England.
Thing, Key. You're saying get a playoff win. By the time you get to five, six, you're like, all right, maybe the time is done.
But see, as you like to say, Jay, there's context to all of this. When you go to 2020, Tom Brady, right? You look at that. Cam Newton comes in. It's a COVID year. Guys getting COVID, players in, coaches sick, da-da-da-da-da, hurt, this, that, and the other. You got to scrap that. You can't look at that and go, well, yeah, Cam Newton, he couldn't win. You cannot do that.
I mean, Tom Brady won.
I'm done talking
Key,
to you.
Key, the bottom I'm line is I don't have a relationship with Belichick, right? So I don't
it's
care.
Not,
I'm
it's
just
not about you having a relationship
it
with
was
him.
A package
Max,
situation
it's
that
the
Tom
reality
Brady
of the situation.
Of course. But that's why, guys, let's not forget. And I think Brady also left the cupboard bare. He helped get Garoppolo moved out. Then he bounces. He leaves Belichick with nothing, right? If there's a competition between the two of them to see who was more, Brady did a very good job maneuvering, and then he parachuted into a ready-baked situation. I agree with all that. But he didn't go to the playoffs or win a playoff game or get to the championship game or get
he
to the
He had a
he
better football team than the New England damn Patriots, boy.
He won
if
the
you
Super
took,
Bowl.
If you would have took
Belichick
Bill Belichick
a playoff game.
And put Bill Belichick in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with that same roster and Tom Brady, they'd have won a damn Super Bowl.
Belichick's in charge
Stop
of the
it, Max.
Roster. He
or drop,
constructs
or drop
the
Bill
roster.
Belichick off as a free agent. Let him choose a team he wants to go to. I think
yeah,
Bill Belichick could have won a championship,
is,
too.
The difference is Brady got to choose his roster, right?
That's
Belichick
what
chooses the roster every year.
Yeah, but Max,
I can't.
He does. He's the GM. I'm not lying.
Building.
You're going to have me scream.
Guys.
Yes, he chooses the roster
Key,
every year.
Key.
It takes time when you're rebuilding an entire team, an organization.
It went from
this
can
dude.
Belichick win a Super Bowl to can Belichick win a playoff game. But I agree with you. It's you wait until then you say next year, well, maybe he surprises everyone and makes the playoffs but doesn't win a game this year. Maybe he makes one the next year and everything's good, you know, because he wins a playoff game. I am saying now it is entering year 4. It is time where you start looking and say, hold on, what's going to happen here? We're up to that now. What's going to happen
well,
here?
Well,
is he going to not make
here's,
the playoffs?
Here's what I would say so you can sleep good tonight. Bill Belichick will make his decision when he decides he doesn't want to coach the Patriots anymore.
There you go.
It won't be made by Mr. Kraft.
He's
It'll
earned
be made
that
by
right.
Bill Belichick.
He's earned that
I hope
right.
so. I
he's
hope he decides
right.
to yes, never retire. Just
and
keep
on
doing
top
this.
Of that, on top of that, Jay – and Max, coaches like this, historical, legendary coaches, they don't get pushed out unless a team new owner comes in and pushes them out, and the New England Patriots are not up for sale. That's just the reality of it.
I'm going to dig up a quote from you coming back from
You dig
Robert
up whatever
Kraft.
You want to dig.
And maybe you can dig up some playoff wins for Belichick.
No, I'll dig up your germ spreading.
You guys are like children.
Would it make more sense?
Guy here, though, Jay.
For the Ravens. I know, I'm sorry.
Toxic.
I point out the facts. Would it make
bad.
More sense for the Ravens to find
bad
a trade
for
partner
our business?
For Lamar. But first, Key has this from Granger.
Key doesn't have anything.
Bring
That's
back bad
Josh
for
McDaniels.
Business. What are you talking about?
Bring back Josh Key, McDaniels. Key get Bill Belichick out of here.
Key's going to tell you about Granger in a little bit. KJM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Lamar Jackson just laid down the gauntlet. He's not coming back.
And this is him publicly sharing his unhappiness.
I don't know how Lamar ever goes back to play for the Baltimore Ravens.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can hear us on Sirius XM Channel 80 or hit more on the lower right-hand corner of the ESPN app. Scroll down to live radio. We're portable. So, Key, I know you've been very clear on your position. The Ravens are not letting Lamar Jackson go. But let's say for a second it gets to the point where Lamar's like, look, I want out. You've also stated, even on this show today, that if a dude doesn't want to be there, if he's like, look, I'm out, you're going to have to find him. Okay, now, would it make more sense, therefore, if Lamar does want, you know, you got your spies out there, they come back with the intelligence, he wants out. Wouldn't it make more sense, based on what you've been talking about, look, if you offer the 2-1s and non-exclusive offer sheet and da-da-da, you're freezing your money for your cap. Wouldn't it make more sense to go right to the Ravens and just negotiate a trade with them?
You could do that. You could certainly that the price is going to go up other than the 2-1s, right? You're gonna start now. You're looking at what did Matthew Stafford go for? What did Russell Wilson go for? You start looking at all of those sort of things. But at the end of the day, I strongly believe even if Lamar Jackson's got to commit the ultimate go crazy on the Ravens to a whole nother degree. He's got to burn the building down, right, for them to move on from him. Because right now, this is an emotional period. It's emotions that are flowing. They're treating me bad. They're not talking to me the way they need to. They're offering me less than what my value is. It's emotions that are hitting Lamar. It's emotions that are hitting the Ravens front office about what they want to do and not do based on Deshaun Watson's deal, which they're wrong. They should pay Lamar every single dime. He deserves it. But there's emotions that's going on. And when that emotional period calms down, the heads will prevail and they'll get on the same page. As you heard Adam Schefter say earlier, that Lamar Jackson is exploring, essentially is what he's saying, a fully guaranteed contract from the Ravens or somebody else. You see, it's starting to turn a little bit now, Max. If you follow, it's starting to turn. Where did that come from all of a sudden? Where did Adam get that from? Where now it's like, well, maybe I don't need a fully 7-year guaranteed or 6-year fully guaranteed. Maybe I just want my first 4 years at $230 million of guaranteed money. Maybe my first 3.5 years is fully guaranteed at a certain amount of money. Things starting to change a little bit, as you can see.
Well, the thing about a trade is even if you think now it's going to cost you more than the first than two ones, when you start looking around the league, some teams don't have ones, but maybe they have players that the Ravens like.
Yes.
Right? Like it opens up possibilities.
But now I'm stripping my team of players that will allow him to have major success.
Well, let's just
because I don't want Max Kellerman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You want Keyshawn Johnson. Right. So
well, I didn't say me, but you know.
So let's
try to take me.
Well, I just learned on today's show that you were the number one overall pick in the draft. I can't believe it took a former teammate to let us know. I don't know why you've never told me this. but I'm looking at a team like, I don't know, let's take the Packers because they maybe need a quarterback,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's say that the Ravens really like Jordan Love. Let's just say. Well, there's a piece that doesn't weaken your team because you're getting a quarterback in exchange, right? Jordan Love, and let's say we don't have the first rounders you want, but we have a couple second rounders, and we made this move and we picked up a second and a third, and we're going to package all that up for you with Jordan Love, and then maybe a piece that you might like to keep, but you can't.
We're going to do basketball-like. We're going to move Aaron Rodgers. We're going to pick up the picks from the Jets. We're going to put them on our board.
Yeah.
We're going to now package that up. We're going to give you Jordan Love plus what we got from
the
New York Jets.
Yeah, the Rodgers deal.
But do the Green Bay Packers want to commit the money now? Now it's do I commit the money?
You know
do I commit the money or do I feel like the player that I've drafted and developed for 4 years is the guy without me having to spend that money?
So two things there. If it's the Packers, it can't just be a guy. You're following Favre and Rodgers in a row, right? Like it's got to be
Well, Rodgers was
a guy.
You know, Rodgers was just a guy. He fell in the draft.
No question. He's 23.
So he wasn't even a guy. He was just a player.
Yeah, but by the time they went to Rodgers, they knew they had something, right? Like they knew.
Well,
oh,
that's what
this
I'm saying. So now they're looking at Jordan Love, and they may be saying, "Well, we got something."
But maybe it's not Rodgers level. They don't think it's. Maybe they thought Rodgers was better than Favre at that time. By the time they made the move, but they don't feel that way about Love. Then, like, if you're the Packers, you bring in like it'd be incredible to follow Favre with Rodgers, and then Rodgers with Lamar Jackson. And as you just said, if you don't know if they're going to want to devote the money, like you know, like that's a lot of resources. But what they guarantee Rodgers in that last deal? $150?
Yeah, it's like a buck fifty. 3 year, $150.
3 years, $150 for an old guy. Wouldn't you want for an extra $80 a young guy basically for the rest of his career?
Well,
it makes a lot of sense.
No, it would make sense to do that, but I've developed Jordan Love for 4 years. I got Jordan Love on the cheap, and I think Jordan Love gives us what we want in terms of the quarterback position to move forward. Although I may have to address Jordan Love's contract in 2024 because if he goes out there in 2023 and takes us to the playoffs and does what he's want, you know, we expect him to do. He could, too, believe it or not, be in that conversation of the Joe Burrows, of the Justin Herberts, Jalen Hurts money because of the years of where he's at. So just imagine that. If Jordan Love goes out there and he plays like crazy, right, this year, and they go to the playoffs, they win the division, da-da-da, they'll be looking at an extension for him in the fall or the spring of 2024.
Yeah, I have a big question for you before I say anything else. I know, that is wild.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority.
Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now in studio, in the flesh.
Wendy.
Brian Windhorst of the Hoop Collective podcast. What's going on, Wendy?
Good morning.
So I have to start any conversation with Wendy that involves LeBron. Starts with the obligatory, you've covered LeBron James as much as anyone. What's your reaction to seeing Bronny in the McDonald's All-American game?
Well, first off, the only slam dunk contest LeBron ever did, as far as I know, like he might have done some stuff I didn't know about, was the McDonald's All-American slam dunk contest in Cleveland in 2003. I was there. And it wasn't good. He won. Home cooking on the scoring. Shannon Brown, who later was his teammate. He never did another slam dunk contest. I think it was because of his bad taste from McDonald's. So, number one, seeing Bronny in the slam dunk contest 2 nights ago, it was like, whoa, like, I remember that. And
made you feel old?
Yeah. I mean, I'm already there with that. And it was probably a great night for the James family. Bronny had a good performance, hit 5 threes. You know, LeBron was there. Gloria was there. Again, I remember when Gloria, his mom, was sitting at LeBron's McDonald's game in Cleveland when he did that.
So, I remember the one in D.C., by the way. And his mom was there. Yeah, right. Yeah. McDonald's. I think that was his last
one.
The
Jordan Classic.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Michael Classic.
Oh, was it? Yeah. That's right. I was there. Yeah.
Yeah. He did like this all-star tour. And it was, you know, when I think back to that, he had all these contemporaries. Like, the only guy who's still around who was in those games with him was Chris Paul. Because, like, Melo was, Chris Paul was in much of those games and all these other guys who ended up being star players. And it's just him and Chris who are still left.
So, Wendy, let's just do a quick exercise. Let's remove the name. Let's just look at the player, right? I'm like, okay, I see somebody who's a good shooter. I see somebody like, in open court. There's decent athletic ability there, just his ability to dunk. I just don't see that next tier player. Now, can he grow if he grows a couple inches and his overall game be more aggressive? Could he give me a little bit more shake and bake in a half court? Like, I didn't see him create shots the way DJ Wagner is last night. I think he could be a serviceable player, and I don't think that's a knock on him. I think there's just a lot of added on pressure just because of the name. But as a player, he's a good player. It doesn't mean it's next level.
He's 6'3". So to be 6'3" and be elite – you know, to make the NBA, you got to do some stuff really, really well. You either got to shoot awesome, you got to be awesome at defense. When Jonathan Givony, who's been scouting players for 20 years, put him in the lottery in his first mock draft for 2024, my jaw dropped. But definitely he has improved dramatically in the last year. The other thing that Givony says is that the 2024 class happens to not be very deep. So when you think about the 2024 draft, also think about the level of prospects in that draft. Now, it's a year away. It's, you know, 15 months away. This class could have a different viewpoint after a year, after we see everybody develop.
Bronny could be 6'5". You know?
Bronny could be 6'5". But right now, 2024 looks like not the greatest class, which favors Bronny. The other thing is, and this weird thing, if Bronny is a lottery pick or a mid-first round pick, it's going to make it harder for LeBron to play with him. If, you know, any team can acquire a second round pick. I mean, Bronny can even try to get teams to not draft him if he wanted to and sign with the Lakers. But if he becomes a guy that teams want to use a mid-first-round pick on, the Lakers may not be able to get in there, and LeBron's going to be a free agent. And he has made it very clear it's his super goal, you know. So that's not a conversation for March 2023, but it could be a conversation for March 2024. So that's just one thing that I thought was interesting about that.
Speaking of LeBron and whatnot and his impact of returning back for the Lakers, what are the Lakers' chances out west, Wendy, between the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant and LeBron James and the Lakers? What are the chances of both of them meeting each other in the playoffs?
Well, so what everybody wants right now is – the sixth seed. The sixth seed is the prize because, number one, you don't have to play in the play-in. Number two, you potentially get the Kings. The Kings are going to be the three seed. Almost, I think it's almost locked in. And I'm very cautious here because I do not want to upset the good people of Sacramento who are going to probably tonight celebrate their first playoff appearance in 17 years. The Kings are a bottom five or six defensive team. They have never been to the playoffs with this group. Most of their players have next to no play, zero or next to no playoff experience. Really, Harrison Barnes amongst their core guys, is that's it. You don't have to be some sort of genius to pick them as the mark. So when you're a team like LeBron, who's coming back from this foot tendon injury, like he's pushing the envelope here, clearly, because he smells some weakness. He smells weakness potentially with the Nuggets. He smells weakness potentially with the Kings. And look, those teams can make a statement with the way they play in the postseason, but do not confuse the fact that the Western Conference is tightly bunched, that it is strong. It is as weak as it's been in 20 years. LeBron has been around for all 20. He sees it. And so, look, Key, if they can get above 500, they're 500. I think they're a game below 500 right now. Mm-hmm. If they can get above 500, they're going to be in the playoffs. But they haven't been above 500 in 14 months.
I want to get to that because we saw the standings. They're three games back at like the four seed. They're two back of the six seed, right? So that wouldn't even be a play-in. I want to ask you this, though. You mentioned the foot tendon issue, right? When I look at the Lakers, what makes me think, wait a minute, is not just that they have half a dozen real rotation, NBA rotation pieces suddenly in defense and shooting, but they're, as Goldsberry had it last week, they've been the most efficient defensive team in the NBA while LeBron was out with these new players. So when I see that, and I always think of LeBron post-Miami, look, I can't do that both sides of the floor every game. I got to save the defense for the playoffs, basically, since then. So now I think, wait a minute, they're actually live in the West if they defend like that, because LeBron can defend very well in high leverage moments. But does this foot situation mean he can't do that, Wendy?
I don't know. I mean, look, he said he admitted two doctors basically said have surgery. And he openly admitted he may need to have surgery in the offseason. So he is playing literally until the wheel falls off.
But the LeBron James of doctors told him that he didn't need surgery.
Second best doctor of all time, apparently.
One of the great quotes.
Second best doctor of all time.
Wendy,
I heard you.
Let me go to the East real quick for a second. Everybody knows that looking between, you know, the Boston Celtics, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the 76ers, right, to contend in the East. What do you make of everything that Jaylen Brown has been talking about as of late? New York Times articles, you know, even the standing ovation that he got from the Boston Celtic crowd the other night. He kind of poo-pooed that in his post-game presser. What do you think about that situation occurring between him and Jason Tatum?
So everybody's been talking about the MVP. It's not the biggest award vote that's happening.
All-NBA.
All-NBA is the biggest award vote, and here's why. It's complicated. I'm sorry. Hang with me. If Jaylen Brown makes All-NBA,
Supermax,
he is eligible to sign a five-year, $285 million contract this summer with the Celtics. I would be very, very surprised if he does not sign that because of the sheer money. The reason the Supermax exists is for this exact purpose, to hold the star player in place. If he does not get All-NBA, he will almost certainly not extend with the Celtics. And that has to do with how much he can sign for. It's like it's something like $100 million less. Ugh. So if he gets All-NBA, I think he's going to be locked into the Celtics for a long time. If he doesn't get All-NBA, I think it guarantees he will be an unrestricted free agent in 2024, which is an uncomfortable situation to be in for any team, but particularly with some of the stuff that Jaylen has said lately.
Ryan,
and here's the other
Windhorst
thing, one more layer. The guard position is loaded in the NBA for all NBA. The forward position is soft because of a bunch of guys who've gotten injured who we're not going to necessarily be able to vote.
KD.
So if you're a Boston Celtics fan, you should be begging, and you should be having, don't hold up a sign that says stay Jaylen Brown. You should hold up a sign that says vote Jaylen Brown for all NBA at forward, because he's
right.
Also plays guard.
Weaker competition. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.